Now again, we'd like to thank each one tonight for coming and trust there will be a blessing for all who are present with us this evening. I was trying to remember the last time I spoke here, but I can't remember, so I must be getting old. I'm going to read tonight in the book of Genesis in chapter 42. The book of Genesis in chapter 42. Genesis chapter 42, reading verse 25. Then Joseph commanded to fill their sacks with corn, and to restore every man's money into his sack, and to give them provision for the way. Now down the chapter, verse 38. And he said, My son shall not go down with you, for his brother is dead, and he is left alone. If mischief befall him by the way in which ye go, then shall ye bring down my grey hairs with sorrow to the grave. A final reading in the book of Genesis in chapter 45. Book of Genesis chapter 45, and we're going to read verse 24. So he sent his brethren away, and they departed. And he said unto them, See that ye fall not out by the way. I'm sure the Lord will bless tonight what we have heard, and also this reading from his precious word. Now I think tonight it will be evident to each one gathered what we're going to speak about this evening. We're going to speak about the way. We have read tonight three things about the way. Genesis chapter 42. We have read about provision for the way. In Genesis chapter 42, we have read about mischief or danger by the way. And then in Genesis chapter 45, we've read about falling out by the way. So three very simple things tonight that we're going to consider. Provision for the way. Dangers that can befall us by the way. And also falling out by the way. Now the first thing I want to suggest tonight is simply this. Remember, we're either in the way or we're out of the way. Now, I want to speak to every unsaved person tonight in this building. And I want to remind you of this. Every unsaved person is out of the way. One verse from the Bible. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to their own way. And every unsaved person tonight is out of the way. But I'm going to go through the Bible tonight very quickly. And I'm going to show you individuals in the way. And I'm going to show you individuals out of the way. Now, I'm sure tonight we all remember about the prodigal son. Let me say tonight two things about the prodigal son. When the prodigal son left the father and left the father's house and made his way for the far country, remember the prodigal was out of the way. But then when the prodigal returned to his father, the prodigal was in the way. So there was a day when the prodigal was out of the way, and there was a day when the prodigal was in the way. If it's right to have a favourite book, it's wrong. But my favourite book in the Bible is the book of Ruth. And as I think of Ruth chapter 1, I want you to notice two things, out of the way and in the way. For example, when Elimelech and Naomi, when Mahlon and Chilion left Bethlehem, Judah, for Moab, they were out of the way. But then when Naomi and Ruth left the country of Moab for Bethlehem, Judah, they were in the way. Now, I want to speak to every heart this evening as a challenge to my own heart, as a challenge to your heart this evening. Remember, we're either in the way or we're out of the way. Let me speak about three types of people in the Bible. In the Bible, there were men that went, but they were never sent. We'll talk about those men. Men that went, that were never sent. But then there was a second group of men in the Bible. There were men that were sent, but they never went. But then there was a third group of men in the Bible. There were men that were sent, and those men went. Now think of those three groups of people tonight. Men that went, that were never sent. There's a verse in the book of Jeremiah says this. These prophets have went, I have not sent them. They have prophesied, but I gave them no message. And it's possible for an individual to stand on a platform like this, never to be sent, and yet when they are out of the way. But then there's a second group in the Bible. Think of Jonah. You know, Jonah was a man that was sent. He was sent to Nineveh, but he went to Tarshish. The man never went to where he was sent. You ever read about Jonah? You ever noticed the path that that man travelled? Get the picture. He went down to Joppa. He went down to the ship. He went down into the innermost parts of the ship. He went down into the sea. Listen tonight to the words of poor Jonah. Out of the belly of hell cried I. And if you and I tonight are in a way that is out of the way, remember it's a dark way. It's a downward way. It's a way that is leading to death. And it's a way that is leading to destruction. Twice in the Bible I read a verse like this. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. But you know, there's men in the Bible. I haven't time to touch many of them tonight. Let me touch one. There came a man sent from God whose name was John. The challenge of the ministry tonight is this. Remember, I wouldn't like to be in Scotland if God wanted me in Canada. We're either in the way or we're out of the way. And you tonight know it, and I tonight know it. We're either in the way or we're out of the way. Let's come tonight to our subject very quickly. Provision for the way. You ever thought tonight, dear child of God, the provision that God has provided for us in the way? I listened to a man many years ago. He said this. In the Bible there's food for the pilgrim, and there's food for the prophet, and there's food for the priest, and there's food for the people. You remember there was roast lamb in Egypt. Remember there was manna in the wilderness. Remember there was the old corn in the land. And I want to say tonight, dear child of God, remember, God has given us tonight provision for the way. Now the question tonight might be asked, what provision tonight has God given to us for the way? You remember Luke chapter 10? That man going from Jerusalem to Jericho. Remember what you read in that chapter? You read a phrase like this. The Samaritan took out 2 pence. Now what was those 2 pence? I don't know. I've heard many suggestions. I've heard the Old Testament, the New Testament. I've heard the Word of God, the Spirit of God. I want to suggest tonight one thing. The 2 pence was this. It was provision for the way. Now, I'm going to speak about 4 things tonight very quickly. 4 things tonight which is in the grasp of every Christian. And you know those 4 things tonight are unlimited. Now let me give you the 4 before we speak about them. The first thing we're going to speak about tonight is this. We're going to speak about unlimited knowledge. And the second thing we're going to speak about tonight is this. We're going to speak about unlimited wealth. And then the third thing we're going to speak about tonight, we're going to talk about unlimited power. And the 4th thing we're going to speak about tonight, we're going to speak about unlimited provision. Now those 4 things are easy to remember. Knowledge, wealth, power, and provision. Now, is there unlimited knowledge within the grasp of every Christian? You remember what Paul said to the Corinthians? Listen tonight to it. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. And remember, there's no excuse for ignorance amongst the people of God. Let me give you 1 chapter. You turn tonight to 1 Corinthians 2 and you read a verse like this. Eye hath not seen, nor ear hath heard, neither hath it entered into the hearts of men the things that God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Let me stop tonight for one moment and say this. I don't know your thoughts this evening because I don't possess your spirit. But the truth of the matter tonight is this. I can know the thoughts of God because I possess the Spirit of God. The Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. And within the grasp of every Christian tonight, there is unlimited knowledge. But then secondly, and the Scotsman likes this one, there's unlimited wealth. Ever noticed in the Bible that three times you read those words? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Where do you read those three verses? 2 Corinthians 1 verse 3. Ephesians 1 verse 3. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 3. One verse, Ephesians 1, takes my mind to the past. The verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 takes my mind to the present. The verse in 1 Peter chapter 3 takes my mind to the future. But I want you tonight to get the truth of Ephesians chapter 1. Listen tonight to it. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. I love that last verse of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, is it? Listen tonight to it. All things are yours, whether Paul or Apostle or Paul, Apollos or Cephas, whether life or death, whether things present or things to come, all things are yours. Why? Ye belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to God. And within the grasp of every Christian tonight, there is unlimited wealth. But then thirdly, very quickly, within the grasp of every Christian, there's unlimited power. I could go through the Bible tonight and I could show you this. In Psalm 27, there's power linked with God. In Galatians chapter 5, is it? There is power. Or Philippians chapter 4, there is power linked with Christ. In Ephesians chapter 4, there is power linked with the Spirit. And in 2 Timothy chapter 1, there is power linked with the grace of God. We've to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And within the grasp of every Christian tonight, there is unlimited power. Listen tonight to the words of the Apostle. I can do all things through Christ, who strengtheneth me. But the point I want to come to tonight mainly is this. You know, there is unlimited provision. Now, what provision has God given to us as we travel heavenward and homeward? He's promised his divine presence. And remember, there's no substitute. Promised to be with us in temptation. Promised to be with us in the trials of life. Promised to be with us in the toils of life. And there's no substitute for the divine presence. You remember Hebrews chapter 13? You ever thought of the Lord in that chapter? Notice five things very quickly. The Lord for us. The Lord before us. The Lord between us. The Lord in us, and the Lord with us. I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Now, I want to make it very clear tonight. If there's going to be limitations, it's never on the divine side. You know, it's always on the human side, and I could prove that tonight from the Bible. You remember what Joseph said in Genesis 44? Listen tonight to the words of Joseph. Fill the men's sacks with corn, as much as they could carry. Let me say two things tonight very quickly, and if you forget all I say, will you remember those two things? The river of God, it's full of water. And the storehouses of God, they are full. In Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and we are complete in him. You remember 2 Kings chapter 4? As long as those vessels were brought, the oil flowed. But as soon as the vessels stopped, it says the oil stayed. You remember John chapter 6? As much as they would. And I must leave it with you tonight, dear child of God. In our ignorance, unlimited knowledge. In our poverty, unlimited wealth. In our weakness, unlimited power. In our leanness, not of body, but of soul, unlimited provision. And I leave the verse with you tonight, very quickly. He commanded to give them provision for the way. But secondly, very quickly, you know it was a dangerous road. I want to speak to every sinner tonight in this building. Do you ever think about the devil? You know, the devil does three things. The devil beguiles. The devil binds. And the devil blinds. And if I'm speaking to one tonight who are still in their sin, remember the work of the devil is to beguile you. The work of the devil is to bind you, and the work of the devil is to blind you. But what about the Christian? The Christian has a threefold enemy. The flesh, the devil, and the world. You ever notice there's a threefold armor in the Bible? Where do you read about the flesh in the Bible, you read about an armor. And where do you read about the devil in the Bible, you read about an armor. And where do you read about the world in the Bible, you read about an armor. Let's go to three chapters very quickly. I come to a chapter tonight like Romans chapter 13. Listen to one verse. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. So there's an enemy in Romans chapter 13, and the enemy is the flesh. Come now to Ephesians chapter 6. And there you read about the wiles of the devil. There you read about the fiery darts of the wicked one. And the enemy in Ephesians chapter 6 is the devil. And then I come to a chapter like 2 Corinthians 6 and I read a verse like this. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And the enemy in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 is the world. So in Romans chapter 13 it's the flesh. Ephesians chapter 6 it's the devil. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 it is the world. Have you ever noticed that in those three chapters that there is an armor? Come again to Romans 13. Listen to one verse. Cast off the works of darkness. Put on the armor of light. So in Romans 13 there's an armor. It's the armor of light. Come now to Ephesians chapter 6. And in Ephesians chapter 6, I read about the whole armor of God. And then I come to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and I read a verse like this. The armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. I want to make it very clear tonight, remember? Solomon and David was overcome by the flesh. Ananias and Sapphira were overcome by Satan. And remember, Demas was overcome by the world. And I speak to you tonight, and I speak to myself, and I quote the words of 1 Corinthians 10. Let him that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. And the note I'm going to sound tonight is this. Remember, you're only safe against the flesh if you have on the armor of light. And you're only safe against the devil if you have on the whole armor of God. and you're only safe against the world if you have on the armour of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. I love that man, Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, one of David's mighty men in 2 Samuel chapter 23. I remember the late John Douglas once speaking on those men. Get the picture of the men, he said this. What did Benaiah do? He did three things. He slew two lion-like men of Moab. He slew a lion. And he slew an Egyptian, a goodly man. The late John Douglas said this. When Benaiah slew the two lion-like men of Moab, he overcame the flesh. When he slew the lion, he overcame the devil. And when he slew the Egyptian, the goodly man, he overcame the world. And I speak to every Christian tonight, remember this. We are either overcomers or we are overcome. And remember the way from Canaan to Egypt, it was a very dangerous way. But time's gone and you're very patient. Let me touch the last one very quickly. See that ye fall not out by the way. You ever notice those that fell down in the Bible? You remember Israel as a nation? Listen to what it says about them. In one day, there fell 23,000. You know, Israel as a nation, they fell. Let's come a little closer. You remember the church at Ephesus? You know what we were lamenting today? The assemblies that have closed down in Scotland. Now Canada's the same. The assemblies that's closing down in Canada. And Newfoundland's exactly the same. Assemblies fall. Remember from whence thou hast fallen. I want to come to an individual tonight. I'm going to quote tonight Mr. Phillips' translation of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Listen tonight to it. Let him that thinketh he standeth today take heed lest he fall tomorrow. The Bible speaks about falling down. But very quickly, let me give you a few things very quickly before I sit down. You know, the Bible talks about those that drop out. Do you know any dropouts? I know. I was going to say hundreds. What's a dropout? A dropout is an individual that has no root and no fruit. And they go on for a short time. They have a profession, they have no possession. And in the light of Matthew 13, there are those that drop out. No, the Bible talks about those that were shut out. You remember Miriam? Numbers chapter 12 says this. She was shut out for 7 days. You remember 1 Corinthians chapter 5? Put away from yourself that wicked person. And there are those that are shut out. And there are those that are put out. You know, there are those that go out. You remember Paul says they'll come in. Acts 20. Grievous wolves shall enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Paul says they'll come in. You know, when I come to the third epistle to John, I notice they are in. But listen again tonight to the words of John. They went out from us because they were not of us. And there are those that go out. You know, there are those that are cast out. You remember that man, Diotrephes? I think when I was in Scotland, I used to call him Diotrephes, but Diotrephes, it all depends what college you went to. What did Diotrephes do? He did 3 things. He displaced Christ. Because he was a man that loved to have the preeminence. And remember, in all things, Christ must have the preeminence. So he displaced Christ. You know, he kept out the servants of God. But he cast out the saints of God. So you've got the picture? There's those that fall down. There are those that drop out. There are those that are shut out. There are those that are put out. There are those that go out. And there are those that are cast out. But you know, there are those that fall out. They do that in Canada, but I don't think do they do that in Scotland. See that ye fall not out by the way. Let me finish with 3 things tonight very quickly. There are brothers in the Bible and they fall out. You remember Cain? You remember Abel? Cain and Abel, they fell out. Sisters fall out, you know. You remember Philippians chapter 4? I beseech Eurias, and I beseech Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And brothers fall out, and sisters fall out. But I'm not finished. You know, servants of God fall out. You'd almost think the servant was different material from the saints. You just ask their wives and they'll tell you they're exactly the same. What servants fell out? I believe Barnabas and Paul. Men that were mightily used of God in the preaching of the gospel and in the teaching of the Word of God, and they fell out. So I leave my little message with you tonight. There's provision for the way. There's danger in the way. Remember, see that ye fall not out by the way. Now shall we pray. Our Father, tonight we do thank thee for all that our ears have heard. We thank thee for thy work, our God, on the coast of Labrador and also in Newfoundland. We marvel, our God, at thy grace as we think of that work. We do pray, O God, that it might be kept and preserved in a dark and in a difficult day. We thank thee for the reading of thy precious word. We pray that thou wilt bless it to each bowed in thy presence. Save us from being like the slothful man who roasted not that which they took in hunting. May we apply those things to our life in order that we might be more pleasing in thy sight and more profitable in thy service. Part us now with thy blessing as we offer our praise and our thanksgiving in the Lord Jesus' precious name.